Oh, these excuses.
It's been a long time. I didn't ever think I was going to see you again. See, you haven't changed. It's good to see you anyway.
And welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders. This is your, I don't know, what you want to call me, the host of RP Grinders, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Mug was going to be on here, but for technical difficulties, I don't know what's going on with the signal there, but we'll work on that. We'll get Mug back as soon as possible. I don't know what the hell is going on with the signal, but nonetheless, gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Well, I don't want to do the show now.
Why?
Sad.
Yeah. I know.
This is the whole point of moving to Saturdays, damn it.
Okay, well, that was our show for today.
So it's Saturday instead.
Yeah, Saturday. This is our new time slot. I don't know what to think about this, guys. I think it's okay, though. Freeze up Friday nights for everybody, but we'll see how it goes. I'll try to get Mug back on, work out some difficulties. Maybe after the show we'll...
You know what he should do is he should come up and sit right next to you and interrupt every once in a while.
No, I don't think so. I think so. I think he should stay chained in the basement. That's what should happen. But anyways, we got...
The show needs more harmonicas. That's what needs to power his internet connection. Then it'll work.
Fuck that. No, I'm good, man. Harmonica is... What's that saying? No harmonicas were harmed during the filming of RP Grinders? Some type of thing? Yeah, we don't need any...
That's a lie.
Yeah, right. I've smashed a few harmonicas. I won't say whose, but, you know. All right. Let's get started with the news. We got tons of news. I don't know what's going on with the Mugs connection, but we'll hopefully have him next week for sure. I'll try to work out some details on that. But, Eric, let's get started with the news.
News from Gematsu. We've got a release window for Layton's Mystery Journey on the 3DS. It's coming out in October, but previously reported the game are now available on iOS and Android for $15.99 if you live in the US. I think in the UK it's similarly priced.
Yeah.
But that's all the info that we've got here. But I can show you the game will cost like $40 because it's a 3DS game.
Hmm. Did we?
But from what I noticed, I saw a screenshot and it said Layton Mystery Journey 1. So even though it's technically a full game, it's probably only the first half. So it probably makes up two halves, which would probably make up the actual game.
Hmm. I see Breakman's in true form in chat. He tried to put the link in there, but he failed. That's a break fail.
That's no such thing as that.
Also, because it's on the phone, you can apparently buy hints with real world money instead of the coins that you collect in the game.
Buying real world money. That's a novel concept. All right.
Wait, well, you're buying hints with real world money.
Okay. I was going to say, like, wait a minute, what? Like, that is an amazing concept. A game is actually giving you money to play it? That'd be impossible, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. All right, next story, Breakman.
Hold on, I'm posting that broken link. Give me a goddamn second. Dude. See, there's the link, Frank. Are you happy now?
About Tim.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. I'm not even letting him talk. One Piece Unlimited World Red Deluxe Edition for Switch launches September 29th in the West.
Yeah.
Unlimited World Red Deluxe Edition. Let's put as many words in there as we can.
Yeah, of course.
It's like this is Street Fighter. Now, next one's going to be One Piece Unlimited, a Super Unlimited World Red Deluxe Edition 2.
Oh, they'll just make the sequel at that point.
Dude, is this daylight savings today, by chance?
No.
Okay, no. Good. Because Free Five's in chat.
July.
I don't know when they do that switchover, man. I've lost all sense.
Apparently not.
Yeah. But fuck that change, man. That's gonna fuck things up on Saturday as well. I don't know. Fuck it. All right, continue on. Sorry. If you're wondering, I know Freak 5 is going to cry about...
I think he's making a joke about the show that we're on. We're doing this show in the day now.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it's the opposite of a savings, because you're sparing 2 hours of your day.
Yeah, can you see Freak 5, just like I called it, he's like, where is Mug? Like, he's like the ultimate Mug fanboy. Mug is having some technical issues. We might have him later on in the show today because he's going to get Skype for his phone. So hopefully we'll have him in the mix here soon.
Okay. That'd be good.
Yeah. All
right. And he can still sit right next to you.
Nope. No, he can sit outside if he wants. Like, you know.
I bet you have him living in the dog house.
Yeah, exactly, Eric. I've been thinking about that move, actually. All right. Nothing else.
You built an outhouse outside just so he couldn't use the toilet inside, didn't you?
You're damn right I did, man. I mean, no, I don't even have to build an outhouse. Just give him a shovel and say, dig a spot. And that's, you know, that's where you do your thing. All right, so physically and digitally, One Piece. Ultimate.
Yeah, this will be out on September 29th on the Switch and August 25th on the PlayStation 4.
All right, that's something to look forward to, I guess. I'm not a big One Piece guy.
For North American Europe, I mean. Not for Japan, for us.
Yeah. Spring for ahead, fall behind.
Me. Yeah, Dungeon Wait, Buster. No, I don't have even one of those. Damn it!
Dungeon Buster's schooling us all. Spring ahead, fall behind. All right.
Spring forward, fall back. You've never heard these terms, Frank.
Yes, I have, damn it. But
I've not heard of those terms.
Daylight savings time.
All right, next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Rabby Ribby, I hope that I pronounced it right, for PS4. PS Vita launches September 1st in Europe. North America will release digitally in 2017. And it's basically a 2D side-scrolling action game that combines the freedom of exploration, platforming, and bullet hell style combat. So, there we go.
I still need to write the review for the PC version of that game.
Yeah. Freak 5's still freaking out about Mug in chat there. So, don't worry. We'll try to get him on. All right.
So is this a game about rabbis?
Yeah.
No, you're playing as a rabbit girl.
Oh, damn it.
But it's called maybe they should rename it.
Yeah, Rabbi Rabbi. That'd be cool, man. Oh,
yeah. Just make a whole new game.
Yeah, you're playing as a rabbi.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Next story, Eric.
The next story is from Gamatsu as well. But, Psychopath's Mandatory Happiness is coming to iOS. No word on the Android version. In Japan on July 27th, and I can assume that eventually at some point it'll be localized. Because it wouldn't be that hard for Nisa to do something like that.
Yeah. Psychopath's had an earlier release, didn't it, Eric? Like, you would know.
Yeah, on the PS4 and PS Vita, and now on the PC.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. Okay, so July 17th.
But if you want to know the price of this game in Japan, says the game, let's see, it normally costs 4,800 yen, but it will launch at the discount price in in August 6th of 2,000 yen.
Yeah, and Freak 5 says, rabbi game where you have to circumcise little boys. Only Freak 5 would think that. I was thinking
that's ridiculous costs for a mobile game.
Yeah. You forgot to read his next sentence, Frank. Do you want to read it or should I?
No, hold on. But I was thinking of, like, you know, having a boss battle at a bar mitzvah. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, like, shoot at a rival rabbi or something that's trying to win over the task of circumcising. That would be awful, man. Well, go ahead.
Kill your enemies by making them eat non-kosher food.
Exactly. Go ahead, break.
So the second sentence, which Frank did not read, after a rabbi game where you have to circumcise little boys, Frank would be all over those little boy dicks.
Ugh, fuck that. All right, next story comes to us from Gamatsu. On that note, Jesus. The Land of Heroes, Trails of...
Legend of Heroes.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Legend of Heroes. I didn't check ahead again. Like, wait, what's that say?
Jesus Christ. Freak Five's got me all messed up in chat there, man. Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel. Pardon me, man. I totally fucked that up. Launches August 2nd on the PC. So the price will be $39.99, our money, meaning American money, €39.99, £29.99. So it'll be, you know, right in line with everything else in there. So, yeah, so that's good, man. Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel on the PC for all
also
the PC
PSA,
games.
One of Exe's other titles was released on the Switch this week. That's Fate Extella.
Oh, there you go, man.
And Switch it comes title. To PC on the 21st, 5th. Right. As well.
All right. Breakman, next story, please.
I'm going to go ahead and read the next two stories because they're both connected. Coming sure. to us live from Gamatsu, The Wolf Among Us, a Telltale Game Series Season 2 announced.
Ooh, nice.
You still need to play Season 1.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I need to play good. Season 1, too. Season 2 will be sometime second half 2018. Though yet to be officially titled, the new season will begin a fresh story arc for its returning cast of characters, including the return of Adam Harrington as Bigby Wolf, and Aaron Yvette as Snow White.
It's so good, man. That first game is so good. It's different than the other Telltale games in that the material is more kind of meta. Like, it's like a fairy tale type deal. Like a Grimm's fairy tale is the best way that I can describe it. So good, man. Wolf Among Us. I highly recommend getting the first game and playing it. It's only like 10, 15 bucks now, so you can pick it up on various platforms. But good game.
And the next article, speaking of good games, so I'm hoping this is a good game because I have the first one. I have yet to play it, but coming to us live from Gamatsu, Batman, The Enemy Within, the Telltale series announced. So we're going to get Telltale Games has announced Batman the Enemy Within, the Telltale series. Well, that's actually the title. The Telltale – there's the Enemy Within - the Telltale series.
Yeah.
A new 5-part episodic game series that continues Telltale's take on Batman franchise. Episode 1, The Enigma, will launch for PlayStation 4 and – you know, it's going to launch for everything later this year.
Yeah, of course. Freak 5 says, look at Break stepping up his game. He's muscling in to become the main host. You better watch your back, he says to me. I thought that, too. I was like, holy shit. Even a segue in there, if you guys paid any attention to that. That was that's some true metal right there, Break. Any truth to the rumors that you're trying to take over RP Grinders?
Well, actually, I go, yeah. Frank, Moria has been passing me letters from his dungeon. He's been getting them to the mailbox for carrier pigeon. And we've been plotting against Frank for a while.
Yeah, they're going to try to do a red wedding, but instead they're going to find a buzzsaw is what they're going
to do. All we have to do is make sure the trains are blaring that day and you'll be paralyzed with anger.
Man. Jesus Christ. Eric,
well, I don't want to spoil the plan because he's not going to see it coming, but it involves the police and trains.
Eric, not only are you exiled, but you have the next story.
All right. So I don't know how that works, but okay. But Drive Girls has been delayed to September 8th in North America. That's all it says, really. But other than, I don't think we even did a story on it being announced for localization by Axis Games. But it's not like they had to do any work because Rising Star Games published the game in Europe.
Yeah. MXT is asking if we've played Phantasy Star Games. I know for sure I've played them. Not sure if Eric has, and Brake says he has played them. So
I played all of them except Zero and Portable and Portable 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And the stuff that didn't come to the U.S.
Yeah, he said he'd played the PlayStation 1. He saw an LP of 4.
I never really beat online Blue Burst, so I never played episodes 3 or 4.
Yeah, that was a very good Dreamcast game from what I could remember. All right, next story, Eric, let's go with you.
Next story is, that'd be the Undertale one, but it's got a date, and the date for the game is August 15th.
Okay.
And if you pre-order the game digitally, which, why would you pre-order something digitally, you get a free dynamic PlayStation 4 theme. I've never been interested in the themes. I've always kept my own blue screen because I just want to get to the games. I don't care about what it looks like.
Yeah, I really don't care either. Sometimes I'll change it to like a sexy chick or something, you know, one of those free themes. But, you know, biggie, big deal.
She says there's a new song by Toby Fox that comes with, apparently.
That might be worth something.
I guess as long as it's not Toby Keith.
Yeah,
then I'll probably end up on
Toby Keith.
Some kind of end up on Bandcamp for free or something. Or I'll throw it in with the official soundtrack and you'll get it that way.
Oh, man, Toby Keith. Can you imagine that? A big old Ford truck on the front with the American flag and...
Here's what the special edition includes, the physical release. The complete Undertale soundtrack with just over 100 songs on 2 CDs, and Undertale sheet music booklet featuring 6 songs with annotations by Toby Fox, a 14K gold-plated brass music box locket.
Freak 5 is Exile.
I'm sorry.
Son of a bitch.
And a sturdy collector's box, and a physical copy of the game. On your platform of choice, which is PC, PS4, or PS Vita. So it'll be interesting to see a PC game get a physical release.
Yeah.
Long after it's been released.
Yeah. Freak 5's exiled in chat, by the way. He's working on it, man. He's trying to make me exile him. All right, next story comes to us from RPG side. I wish Mug was here, because... we could talk about Undertale. We actually talked before the show about...
Not Undertale, the next article.
Listen, Eric.
That's like Dr. Doom saying, I wish I hadn't killed that guy from Fantastic Four. What was that guy's flame?
Why don't we try actually
get him back? I wish he was still alive so I wouldn't have to, so I could kill him again or something. Because you've got him in your dungeon and you could just let him out.
Yeah. Before Eric interrupted, I was going to say, Mug and I were talking about Undertale before the show. But he also is big on the Ease thing. You know, he did some work with Ease. But Xseed announced during a live stream for Zwei,
it's German for two.
On Friday, that they will also be bringing E7 to PC Steam, PC Steam later this summer. So that's some good news for PC people.
Here's the weird thing about this game. It's Zerd, Ilvard Insurrection, which is a nice alliteration of Roman numerals 2, II. But Zwei itself means 2, so 2-2 is a weird title. So I can kind of understand why they gave it a subtitle.
Yeah, they should have said Second Insurrection. That would have been plenty. But I do like the fact that it's at 60 frames per second. That's a big key to the whole thing. Like, playing that game in 60 frames per second would probably...
Well, it's an action games need 60.
Yeah, it would probably be just an awesome treat for people, so...
I wonder how good the PC version will be, though.
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't mind seeing it.
I don't think Falcom's actually doing the programming for this one. I think they contracted it out to someone else.
Mm. I like the 60 frames per second thing. Like that's been one of my big things from the day I started Grinders, is bitching about frames per second. And 60, in my opinion, 60 frames should just be standard in every fucking game now. I mean, we have...
Yeah, even if you have to sacrifice visual fidelity.
Yep. I don't mind taking away from the visuals to get the 60 frames per second in a video game. Like, it just...
I think this article also mentions that apparently Durant's been hired by XSEED, so he's kind of like a technical advisor. I think they might have only had one person at one point. Yeah. But and that was Sarah, so I guess he's working with Sarah.
I'm wondering if Mug can tell us anything about Eves. He helped translate one of the Eves games. So we'll try to have.
I think
him
he
on.
Like put in a little bit of input on another one too. But
yeah. All right. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says Ease 7 on Steam, Ease 8 a month or so later for console. Good time to be a fan of Ease. So.
Or Falcom. Like, think about all the Falcom releases this year.
Yeah. All right, Breakman, next story, please.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, the Silver 2425 announced for PS4 includes the silver case and a 25th ward, the silver case. I'm sorry. The way I read it at first, I thought it was like, it includes a silver case. And I'm like, what the? Oh, no. Sorry.
That's what I was going to say. I wished it would include a silver case. That would be fucking cool.
I think the special edition actually did.
Yeah. Nippon Ichi Software, Active Gaming Media, and Grasshopper Manufacturer have announced the Silver 2425, a collection including the remastered versions of the silver case and the upcoming remake of the 25th Ward, the silver case. It will launch in Japan on March 25th, 2018 for 6,980 yen, a limited edition for 9,980 yen, and 12,980 yen Nippon1.jp Shop limited edition. It's only on the website. Limited edition will include an art book and 4-disc soundtrack. I like that.
Yeah.
There's two special editions we've had today where they've like put as many songs as possible in there.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's good stuff.
And the website special edition will include those and a special T-shirt.
Yep. Good stuff, man. I don't know.
And it's always a one-size T-shirt, and it only fits, like, some people. And I'm guessing it'll be, like, a medium or something. And you know damn well most American gamers need, like, extra large.
I can wear a medium. Now I can. Back, like, maybe
I'm talking about you. I'm just saying most American gamers. So most American gamers that I think would buy this game won't be able to wear
this. Are you calling Americans fat, Breakman? Is that what you're saying?
They're right behind Mexico in the fast country.
You are the biggest, what do you call it, purveyor of we're all fat. Well, it's kind of true, man.
But. See, the thing is I'm trying to look out for people of obese sizes and stuff by complaining that they're going to get shorted a shirt, and then you come in here and say that I'm trying to be discriminatory.
No.
See, this is what he does, people. He twists your words to make you look like a
I know what
guy.
Brake is doing. Brake is trying to make us all exercise. That's what Brake is trying to do. He's, you know, he's trying to subtly hint that we all – don't live up to break standards. That's what's going on, man. Yeah.
I've got nothing else to add to this. Just I'm gonna let him talk for now. Just go on, whatever.
Fat shaming us. And,
you know. He's gonna. I'm just gonna bury himself.
All right. Next story comes to us from Silicon Era. Tactical RPG Neo Impossible Bosses, which probably are pretty fat, pits players against constant MMO style bosses. Inspired by Warcraft 3 mod Impossible Bosses, tactical RPG Neo Impossible Bosses pits players against an onslaught of powerful bosses with complex patterns and attacks, tasking them with controlling a party of heroes to overcome them. So yeah, this is like the typical isometric boss type battles, I guess. So that's kind of cool. And it does look like a big time strategy type MMO boss battle. So Freak Vibe might be interested in this. He's a big Warcraft fan, or at least used to be. Me not so much, but looks neat. If you like boss battles, that's pretty neat. And then there's a bunch of details that you guys can read about, but it will release sometime this year. Put the lotion in the basket. You guys think I like have him in a dungeon? Like, can you just picture that? Like, mug in a dungeon, like with bars and everything, and I just like lower down shit to him. That'd be funny as hell, man. Have a 24-hour video camera on the cell. Ooh, God, I'd hate to find out what's on those tapes.
Do you ever ask him if he's thirsty, and if he says yes, do you pee on him?
I thought about that.
Because, you know, because you're high up and he's down low like that.
Yeah,
like,
but I thought about that.
I think I would, too. So that's the thing.
I think about that, man. But the problem is like, I kind of pee dust now, you know? So it's like, you know, there's really no liquid value in it anymore. But, you know. All right, next story, Breakman. Or let's do Eric.
Next story is Episcava. I don't know how to pronounce that, really. But it's a visual novel of revenge for slaughtered people. This is Aaron is an emulator, a race of beings that had inherited incredible power after humanity made contact with a force known as the Alpha Nebula. But he is one of the last of his kind. All of the others were murdered in a surprising attack by the seemingly powerless North Mani, and his only friend kidnapped, leaving the boy with a burning desire for revenge.
Yeah, that's cool. It sounds good for a visual novel. Freak Five's exiled in chat.
Get a demo on itch.io.
Yeah. So, and you can, it looks like they have a Kickstarter for it too. So, if you're a visual novel enthusiast, be something to check out. I don't play a lot of visual novels, but I do like them. Eric's the visual novel guy. So, all right, break next story, please.
I was going to say, can I read the next story? Because in the biggest load of horse shit reported today, Kingdom Hearts, coming to us live from Gamatsu, Kingdom Hearts 3 launches in 2018. Mm-hmm. Toy Story World unveil trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, right. The thing is, it probably will come out in 2018, but like at the ass end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it won't be complete either. It'll be like they'll do a lot of updates and shit.
They'll do updates via Final Fantasy 15.
Did you guys? I know exactly. Did you guys look at the reveal?
Yeah, it's a mostly complete game, but there are some things we need to tweak because people complained.
Did you guys look at the reveal trailer for Kingdom 3? It looks fucking awesome, man. I mean, all the hype aside, it looks like it's going to be a total blast to play. But
I kind of wish that they announce a Gargoyles world soon, because we need a Gargoyles world.
Ooh, Gargoyles would be good.
I agree. I'd be in for that.
Yeah. I'd be in for a lot of
it. They'll probably have a Moana world.
What about a Star Wars level?
We don't need Hercules. Get rid of Hercules. Rework the game for that part.
Yeah. Well, Hercules is okay. It was all right. But
the world – in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, they were both in there, and – Kingdom Hearts 2 is the only one that did actually do a little bit with the Hercules world, but the first one was more of a battle arena.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine a Star Wars Kingdom Hearts mashup? I think that would be fucking cool as fuck. Dungeon Buster said Gargoyles would rock. So, all right, break. You get the honors. Last story.
I thought there were two more stories.
Not that I... Maybe I skipped one, but...
Okay, coming to us live. Yeah, there are two.
I had one in, like, before we started.
Gotcha.
Mekai Wars announced for iOS and Android. Nippon Ishii Software has announced Makai Wars for iOS and Android. God damn it! Motherfucking god damn it!
What?
Matsu, why do you
God
do that
damn it,
to me?
Matsu.
God damn it, Matsu. That's the name of the
simulation
episode.
RPG stars Asagi and is a fusion between Euro Doroshiru and Disgaea. It will feature completely new character design. Makai Wars was first announced as a PSP title at E3 2004. Holy shit. Yeah. Before it was re-announced for a PlayStation 3 title at Tokyo Japan Show 2005. After that, Nippon Ichi Software did not really say more information about the game. So this game has not come out.
It's been in development for hell for about as long as Duke Nukem Forever has.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm not... You know, I mean, first of all, as soon as breaks that Disgaea, like, you know, that's... I know it's a good game, the Disgaea series.
Well, technically, this game is about Asagi, who is a character who showed up in Makai Kingdom.
But I'm like...
But, yeah, they're going to have Disgaea characters in it.
Unenthused, at the very least, for this game. But especially a game that's been in development.
Yeah, but it probably doesn't play like Disgaea.
No, it looks a little different. I can see some similarities already.
It's a strategy RPG, but it's probably a strategy RPG similar in scope to Fire Emblem Heroes.
Possibly.
I am really, really curious as to how much they are going to charge for a mobile game that's been in development for basically 13 years.
They should give it to you for free. They should pay you for emotional distress.
Gives you real money for in-game money. Yes.
Man, that would be cool. Shit, I'd be on that game all day, every day, man. All right, Eric, let's do the last story so we can get the news out of the way.
The last story is from Silly String Era, and it says, Song of Memories headed westward on PS4, also headed to PC and Nintendo Switch, which is interesting. First visual novel for that platform.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Developer Pure Wish announced that their love adventure visual novel, Song of Memories, is headed westward in 2017, so this year even. As well as for PS4, as well as PC and Switch, and in addition to a new novel that revolves around its heroine, Fuka Kumashiro, Pure Wish announced that they're also working on bringing Song of Memories to North America and Europe this fall on PlayStation 4. Why would you talk about the article that you're talking about, but then mention again in the second paragraph, you... Stupid Silicon Era.
Could I just ask you one favor?
So apparently they're working on another visual novel, and it might also be on the PlayStation 4 and Switch PC.
What was your question, Break?
Could you just do that sound effect again?
I don't know which one you're talking about.
Oh, damn, I don't know. It was really funny.
All right, that's the end of the news segment. Any homie discounts I see we got? Is this from last week or is this new? Eric.
This is from this week, but there's some PS flash sale going on right now. There's a couple decent things. It's not as big as some of the other flash sales have been, but there's also this pre-order discount thing that's going on for a bunch of games that are coming out soon.
Oh, look, this is good. 20% off Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and upcoming Switch and 3DS.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Oh, look, who's in chat? Gripper is in chat.
He just woke up.
What's up, Gripper? Damn.
I don't know if those deals are still live, though.
Or got off work.
Yeah. I don't know. Western Gripper, Freak 5 says, how dare you? How dare you disparage the grip? I'm hoping you're liking the new change, Gripper, because this is going to be the new time for the foreseeable future. All right.
I've got some actually other discounts I'd like to mention.
Sure.
SNK games, including the worst versions of games like Fatal Fury that you'll ever play, are on sale for 99 cents right now on Android and probably iOS.
Yeah, well, there you go. Isn't one of those games not even an emulated port? It's just like... You push a button and then they fight and then they hate each other, kind of like a clicker.
I think most of them are. They're really terrible. Really, really, really terrible. It's so bad I had to show other people, like, hey, what do you think about this game? Act like real excited to them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Here, you got to try this game. What do you think?
Yeah.
I hate you. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what we can do to people that we capture that are from ISIS. We just force them to play terrible mobile games.
Yeah. That'd be the ultimate punishment.
It's play games like Yaris for 24 hours straight. Like, if you can't get that achievement, buddy, you're going to be playing this game for a long time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yaris, or even go old school and make them play, like, Superman 64 or, you know, shit like that. looks like 3-5 still playing Friday the 13th. Any Twitter questions or comments, Break?
I didn't see any earlier, but let me double check. Actually, there were a couple. Let me see. We got one from Gripper.
Wow.
Oh, that was just a retweet. Never mind. There's one from Flabby Sausages who says, thank you, Flabby. I'm glad to hear you're listening at least. We missed you in chat. I'm just saying.
Here are all the pre-order discounts for the 3DS and Switch games.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put in chat.
Hopefully more people think you guys are worth one penny per show, host per episode. 0.05 per episode times 400 episodes equals $20.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you to Gripper and to Flabby Sausage who donated it on the GoFundMe. If you haven't donated to the GoFundMe, we're trying to get our website back. It cost about 95 plus change, you know, to do that.
Yeah, thing. I don't know if Gripper did or not. I mean, I thought he did, but then I remembered it was Flabby Sausage. Sorry.
Yeah, Flabby Sausage. Gripper, if you're listening, you know, what did Flabby say? A nickel or a penny for each host for over 400
episodes? 0.05, so he's saying, penny per show.
Yeah.
1.05 per episode times 400 episodes is $20.
$20? Gripper says in the chat room, did you get a birthday card from the president for hitting 100 years, Frank Branches?
How dare you mention the president?
No, I think when he hit 100 years, that was before America, right?
I don't think he'd even want a card from Trump.
Pretty sure, like, the people of Egypt were still, like, trolling around in the sand, not figuring out how to build concrete yet.
Freak Five is exiled from the show. He's just exiled.
Torture ISIS is making them listen to RP Grinders with everybody's voice cut out except Frank's.
Speaking of Freaks exiled, listening to Freak on Twitter says, listening to last week's show, I missed by leaving early. Frank Branches said he thinks someone is a genius. That's a low bar.
I'm a genius. I don't know what he's referring to. What was he referring to? Do you remember, Break?
I have no idea what you said. I tune you out.
How dare you? Everybody tunes me out. You're exiled.
He also sent us a picture of Jesus saying, "Cash me outside." How about that? How about that?
I didn't get a chance to see that one. I'll have to look at it.
Now, where did I see this girl now? Like, now she's getting she's getting even more famous. What has become of America?
Dude,
I'm so disappointed in this goddamn country. I want 2017 to end. I'm disappointed in America.
let
me down all around.
Actually, you know where
all around.
I discussed this, and yeah, dignity all around. That's a great Bob and David sketch. But yeah, I was thinking about that. We discussed her a while back on the show. She's making money, man. She's been seen with Kim Kardashian, which, I mean, I kind of expected that type of shit. But Gripper says, Gripper's exiled, you son of a bitch. He says, that wall built yet? it's funny. We'll be talking a little bit about that. I know I wanted to skip political talk on the show, but we're going to talk about it.
Here's another deal from me discounts.
Yeah.
Salt and Sanctuary on PS Vita and PS4, which is a cross-buy title, but is $10.79 on Amazon.
Ooh, that's a great deal,
man. If you have PS Plus, it's under $9.
That's a great deal, man. Fucking sell the Sanctuary.
That does remind me of some other things that are going on. Doom, if you have a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox, they're doing a free weekend for the Doom game. So if you don't own it, you can play it for free this weekend. And Destiny 2 has an open beta going on.
Send him to Canada. Gripper's on fire today, man. He just gets back to chat, and he starts in, man. Right on, Gripper. Send him to Canada. Fucked up.
Well, where's Canada? I only know Canada.
Yeah, I know, man. It's America's hat. Canada, Canada, it's all the same thing, man. But yeah.
One of my best friends married a Canadian.
Yeah, Canadian.
They're divorced now.
Oh.
That didn't last long.
Canada's, from what I hear, really cool place. But
Apparently in some places in Canada, they bag their milk.
People like Gripper are looking at the United States right now, laughing their ass off, man. It's
I laugh at the UK too, but it's sadder there, if you ask me.
Sadder there? I think it's better. Didn't they just get the Labour Party in power now? I thought it was better. I don't know. Gripper would know more about that shit.
I don't know about the political situation there. Other than Brexit screwed a lot of people over, yeah. And people were dumb for voting for it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're dumb for voting for it. We don't have any idea what effect Brexit's going to have because it hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, we're dumb for voting Trump in. That's what we're dumb for.
Yeah, that's their mistake, and we kind of emulated their mistake with Trump.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the reverse or what.
Although apparently Corbyn's the MP now.
I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Of a certain party.
Gripper knows way more. He'll tell
us. And he's doing a lot of stuff that people liked.
Yeah. So we were talking about Salt and Sanctuary. I'm playing Salt and Sanctuary. I'm having a dandy of a time in Hager's Cavern. I don't know if anybody remembers playing Salt and Sanctuary. If they have any pointers for me, that'd be great. Gripper says Tories lost the majority there. So
yeah, that's a good thing for everybody because nobody likes Tories.
Yeah, that's a good thing. What have you been playing, Brake?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mostly Fallout 4. And I'm disappointed to report that there are, in fact, two more DLC characters that I have to make love me.
Oh, so what
I think... So I'm not fucking finished yet. God damn it, I'm a little irritated about that. I thought I had everyone's love and approval, and didn't have to worry about them.
Freak Five's exiled again. He says Frank doesn't like Trump because after Spicer resigned, Frank sent him his resume in to replace him, and Trump laughed at him. Ugh. Gripper says, "Yeah, Labour Party for me. Yeah, for sure, Gripper. They seem to be more of the Bernie Sanders type crowd in the UK for sure."
Well, right. I don't know how it is in the UK, but over in America, most of our politicians are bought by big pharma or gun.
You're absolutely correct.
Gun lobbies.
You're correct.
It's mostly those.
Democrats or Republicans.
Both parties. That's why I said.
Yeah,
it's sad.
Bernie Sanders is one of the exceptions, which is really cool. It's one of the big things I like about Bernie Sanders.
I don't know. Like when you ask him about guns, he's always really quiet. And of Delaware, he's always been pro gun. So he might be getting kickback from gun companies.
Well,
I that's what I mean. Like I don't trust any politician.
No, he's definitely not. If you look at the official tally on shit like that, you can see where the money goes for corporate donations.
Yeah, that's the official money.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true, too. I mean, nobody knows for sure, but he's the least corrupt that I know in the political system here. So Gripper says, yeah, Bernie sounds cool. Speaking of Salt and Sanctuary,
I think when you go on to, say, a lower level and smaller cities, it's easier to find politicians that aren't corrupt.
Maybe.
When you get to the big government, but I'm not saying they're not all corrupt because there are some on this – I know on the smaller level, they're definitely bought and sold politicians, but they're more of the
– our governor.
Yeah.
Well, I know what you're trying to say.
I like him better than Trump, but that's not saying much.
Yeah, I know. Jesus.
I do love that he's 100% been anti-Trump.
I like Pond Scum better now. I Trump, so you know it says everything. But anyways, I've been playing Salt and Sanctuary and Marvel Puzzle Quest. I've been enjoying the Hulk story that they got going on. So still working on that.
Like the two games that we play, these two free to play games, get so many updates and just cool stuff they keep adding to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they just added Final Fantasy. Record Keeper, they just added Final Fantasy Type-O characters. Like, they just keep expanding the roster of games that you can play, too.
Yeah, it's really cool. Dungeon Buster says he's an okay dude, at least compared to the other politicos. Yeah, for sure, man. Eric, what have you been playing?
I've been playing primarily Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, which has pretty much dominated my life.
Yeah.
But I just can't pull away from it. I need to, you know, slap my hand or something and play something else instead so I can get that out of the way.
Slap your own hand.
But other than that, I played Valkyria Revolution over last weekend for like a little bit. And I feel like I've played enough already. It's not a bad game, but the good that's in there is so little. It's like, it could have been a lot better game if they just made it a straight-up Platinum-styled action game. Instead of hiring Media Division, they should have just hired Platinum, because they tried to hamstring the gameplay of an action game by including turn-based elements, which is something they apparently added after fan feedback in Japan.
Wow.
It's like, no, we want a strategy RPG. Well, we can't really make it a strategy RPG, so let's do the one thing you probably shouldn't do to an action game and slow it down.
Yeah.
But now you've got characters who, I don't even think at most times you can play different characters. You can only play the one, the main character.
Yeah.
And they are a melee-based character, and you're fighting a bunch of guys with guns. Of course, they had to reduce the strength of the bullets, because, I mean, you can block them most of the time, so it doesn't matter. But when you attack, you don't just do attack. You do Kingdom Hearts-style attacks, but unlike Kingdom Hearts, where you can pull off combos relatively easily, you have a tiny cooldown gauge. So when you hit the attack button, you have to wait till the ready sign comes back up.
Ooh, that sounds so bad.
Yeah, they hamstring it with turn-based mechanics. Oof. It's like,
oh. Yeah. Dungeon Buster says it's bad, Eric. The gameplay is so bad, but the story is good.
Yeah, I'll power through the game for its story, and I can be thankful that the game is relatively easy. Yeah. But the gameplay is boring as shit.
Yeah. When we get to Stinkos, Freak 5 has his Stinko that I'll mention. What else have you been playing, Eric?
Also, other things, I'm doing a little mini review of it now before I do the formal review. But other things that suck about the game is that each character levels up individually now, which is stupid. Like, before it was class-based. And you still earn potentials, but potentials, I don't think you can equip them, so it's kind of just like, it happens. But instead, you upgrade your sub-weapons, which are your firearms, basically. But like, you can't upgrade armor or anything, or develop new tech.
That sounds like a slog, man.
Yeah.
All right, what else you been playing, Eric?
But, I've been playing Hakuoki Kyoto Winds because I finished Period Cube and I need to get that written. But so I moved on to the next visual novel.
Right on. Well, there you go.
I've been playing that at work.
All right. All right, let's move on to our Stinkos. Let me start with Breakman for the Stinkos this week.
All right. I got two Stinkos. I just had to add one, I guess, today. John Hurd, the actor, died.
Mm-hmm.
For people of my generation, they remember him in a lot of bit parts. And
oh, wait, Dungeon Buster says you can use different characters by using the D-pad. Apparently,
Eric,
they're the left and right buttons.
Eric,
I didn't explore that.
Eric, wait till Break gets done, man. Please, go ahead.
Well, I'm really done now.
Go ahead, Break.
You know, I'm going to, next time, like, we ask him what he's been playing, I'm going to wait a minute. Literally, a whole minute before I say anything.
Sorry, I just saw somebody in chat and I wanted to address it.
Yeah, just hold it till he's done, dude. Go ahead, Breakman.
So, what was I saying? Oh, John Hurt died, and he was legendary as a bit part actor. Like, he's in most movies for maybe 5-10 minutes type actor. But
he's one, if you're probably like 30, 40 years old, you've probably seen him in at least something.
Yeah, he was best known as the dad in the Home Alone series. So that's where people really know John Hurt. But I know him like in a bunch of roles, even before Home Alone. But one that sticks out, he actually had a pretty decent role in The Sopranos, if you can believe that, which I've been watching. So pretty interesting. He was a cop, like a dirty cop in The Sopranos.
Oh, freak. I know how you're – dude, a friend of his died too.
Oh, like, no.
That sucks, man. Yeah. Yeah. And he said George Romero, and we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
And my other stinko goes to the suicide of Chester Bennington.
Yeah, it's strange.
Which a lot of people don't know his name, but I'm sure most people know his music.
Yeah, the lead singer of Linkin Park, of course. That was a tough one, too, because he died on Chris Cornell's birthday. He was real good friends with Chris Cornell. Man, horrible week.
I know. These suicides, like, I feel like, and you know what the worst part about all of this, too, is it's still not going to be really addressed. Like, we're not still, as a country.
Well,
as more of these celebrities are taking their own lives, it seems lately. Yeah. Even when the rich and powerful do it, it's still not like, it doesn't click as we need to address mental illness in this country.
Yeah. And
one thing they don't talk about, and I know this because my nephew is, he's in high school now, is that the suicide rate in high schools has gone up.
Yeah. Well.
And I know this because one of his friends committed suicide earlier this year. And that was the fourth one that this year. And this was back in February or March.
It's kind of crazy. Proportionally it is rising, the rate of suicide. But the way to combat that is with, obviously, medication and counseling and stuff like that, which, you know, mental illness, dude. Like that,
which is still taboo in this country.
Yeah, it's taboo.
It's still taboo to talk about it. And as long as we don't, more people are going to die.
Right. And this administration isn't helping at all. Freak Five's stinko's not all that, sad and stuff. But in a way it is. He's talking about the Creation Museum, I believe, in Kentucky, about them selling a for-profit business to a non-profit to avoid taxes. A bunch of bullshit. I think that's Ken Ham.
You're talking about the Ark. We all know about the Ark around here.
Yeah, that's really sad about your friend too, Freak Five. That's awful. Heart attack was the preliminary cause.
That sucks.
Anything else?
He was only 41. Yeah, and my friend who died was only 31. Like, it's just. And I think Chester Bennington was 41 or 40, something like that.
Yeah, 41.
Just, they're dying way too young.
41 for Chester Bennington, for sure, man. Yeah. I didn't even think, otherwise I would have had some Linkin Park queued up. I'm not a huge fan, but I did see them in concert.
I used to love them until they kind of went a different direction with their newer albums and stuff, and they said that was purposeful. They wanted to go this different direction, which is fine, you know, but just not what I liked anymore. But I think Collision Course, the one they did with Jay-Z, is one of my absolute favorite albums.
Yeah, it was a good album.
There's only like five songs on it, but it was spectacular.
Yeah, it was good.
Loved it.
It was good.
Love it
for sure.
I love it. I listen to it every once in a while.
Yeah,
great CD.
Yeah. God damn, dude. Too Young, Gripper says, yeah, for sure. And Freak Five says it was the Art Park and it was Ken Ham, yeah. All right. Man, what can I say about that? Oh, my stinkos, obviously, George Romero. I didn't get a chance to really talk too much about his death, but that's the one that hurts me kind of the most. I have
that one sucks.
An attachment to zombie movies and, you know, everything related zombie. I mean, I did a whole podcast on it, like Freak Five's podcast. But yeah, that was a tough one to take, man, for sure. And then John Hurt.
Yeah, but like with him and like John Hurt, like these two, they were older guys, and yeah. Especially with George Romero, we knew that like George Romero is not going to live forever.
Well, it doesn't.
And I'm not saying it's not sad, but I'm not trying to really compare it to the deaths of the other ones. It's just, it's they didn't live their full lives, and that's what really bothers me.
I don't know if I totally agree with that. It's like when people are killed, there's more value placed on women and children. But for me, like anybody that gets
but
killed,
I mean, like it just dies. For everyone around them, like he. George Romero has a full family that loved him, you know, and he got to grow and he got to have that family. He got to have a full life, but there's just something sad to me about the people who die young and they miss that.
No, I understand that, man, but
I'm not saying it's worse that they die over somebody else.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like, there's just that sadness, like, and that's why people get upset about kids dying too. It's like, yeah. Wow, like they did not get a chance, and especially kids killing themselves.
Yeah,
like they don't understand that like high school is not your life.
Right.
Trust me, like high school seems like it is going to last forever, but once you were an adult and you're out of the high school and eventually out of college. Your life changes completely.
Yeah, I mean, it changes.
The things that you think matter every now, when you're in high school, won't matter as much when you're an adult. Yeah. Things change.
Yeah, Gripper's asking if there's a GDP tonight. No, I'm going to switch GDP to Fridays. I'll try to do it an hour earlier for you, Gripper. So instead of 7 Eastern, like 6 Eastern, I don't know if that'll work with you, but
so are you getting a GDP Twitter account, or are you going to want me to tweet these things out?
I will probably rely on you. We'll talk about that a little bit later. It won't be a big deal, trust me. I
mean, no, it doesn't sound like one. I was just
it's like
you're
one.
You're gonna have to keep me posted.
Yeah, one or two GDPs a month is what I'm aiming for. So next week I'll do one on Friday. See y'all. How that works out, but I'll do it an hour earlier. God, sadness in the Stinkos this week.
I know. We really got to change the subject of what's going on.
Let's change it right now. I'll do mine, and then I'll get to Eric's. Mine is politics. Sean Spicer resigned, apparently, and the new guy that they got taken over is a piece of work. I don't know if you guys saw this guy, but... this guy is like right out of the Sopranos, man. He's like a Wall Street investor, Italian.
He's not replacing Sean Spicer. Spicer quit because this guy was hired.
Yeah.
He was hired for a different position. So Sean Spicer's position hasn't been filled.
Yeah, Sean's – well, no, it was.
He just quit. He's like, well
– no, he resigned
that because – that guy's a douchebag. If Sean Spicer thinks somebody's a douchebag, like –
then you know he's a douchebag, yeah. I mean, they're all douchebags.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, they're all douchebags, man, for sure. But – the reason I bring this up is because this guy, you're right, he's the reason why Sean Spicer resigned, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders was, I guess, promoted. One thing I found funny is...
So she's doing it now?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. One thing that was said in this article that made me, like, laugh was the fact that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was considered... Trump's deputy. So all I could picture was like an old Western with Trump as like the sheriff and Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I am picturing this now as the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh my
and
God.
She is the deputy, which, what was his name?
Roscoe Pico. Roscoe
yes,
Pico
Roscoe Train? P. Coltrane. Yes, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
And Trump is a big boss. Boss Hog.
That's even better. I love it, man. Somebody needs to do that, man. Let's do it, man. You know, Mug and I came up with an awesome idea. I'll have to tell you guys off the air, man, that I'm going to try to pen It's pretty fucking funny. But yeah, that for sure is something else.
Buster in chat says, Sarah, speaking of Sarah Huckabee, she's a piece of work too. Sorry, world, we do not all sound like her. Please forgive us.
Oh, my God. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is an idiot of the highest regard. See, at least Sean Spicer was smart enough to come up with on-the-fly kind of, like, reasons for the lies. But Sarah Huckabee Sanders doesn't have that mental gymnastics capability thing, you know, that Sean Spicer had. But I still laugh at the meme of Sean Spicer hiding in the bushes, the Simpsons Homer kind of walking back into the bushes thing. It was so perfect. It oh, my goodness. Trump Hog, dude. Boss Hog. That is Break Man, that is fucking hilarious, man. That I would pay to see that, man. That'd be awesome. But anyways, my point was about this Scaramucci guy or whatever the fuck his name is. He wants to put a set on the White House lawn for a morning show. So that's where we've come to as a nation. Our nation's capital, the White House.
It's a fucking reality show.
Yeah, the White House being used as a fucking reality show. It's fucking sad. But anyways, what's your stinko, Eric?
My stinko is how the Mega Man film is being pushed forward. This is the article from Saul Canera. It says, the Mega Man movie's writer and director are in final negotiations. So back in 2015, it was revealed that 20th Century Fox and Chernin Entertainment were working on a Mega Man movie. The film is still very much in the works, with Henry Joost and April Schulman in final negotiations to write and direct the movie. And their past works include Nerve, Paranormal Activity 3 and 4, as well as the Catfish documentary and TV show.
Yuck. On the Catfish stuff.
With the pedigree and the fact that it's Hollywood, I don't have confidence it'll be any good. If it ends up being good, it'll be a surprise, but I don't expect it to.
I did like, I think it was Paranormal Activity 4, Dimensions or whatever that one was. That's the one that I liked a lot of that series, but it was like pretty
Ghost
much
panned. Dimension or whatever it was called.
Yeah, Ghost Dimension. It was panned critically, but I found a lot to like in that movie. It was
why because they went so far away from the first three.
Yeah, it went away from the first three, and it introduced some like time jumping type elements that were, I think, actually pretty fun. I don't know, but like you said, the pedigree for this Mega Man movie, I'm not excited. Of any people that should be excited should be Break Man. What do you think, Break Man? Mega Man movie.
I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah. They'll probably emphasize the man part, and they'll be too old. They'll look like the old school bad Mega Man art.
How would they
God,
even?
That was terrible.
Or yeah, European box art for 2 in the first game.
I doubt it'll get off the ground. It'll probably, once they write it, they'll realize it'll be too expensive for what they want to do.
Or they'll make it a CG at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That'd be awful.
It's like, too expensive for live action. Let's make it CG.
Yeah. All right. Let's do our sweetos. Let's start with Break. What's your sweeto, man?
My sweeto goes to the Spider-Man movie.
Oh, God. It was good, dude.
Yeah, really I don't. Good. We're gonna get to it, so I didn't. That's it. Let's move
on. Yeah, yeah. All right. Your sweeto. Oh, actually, I'll do my sweeto. Mine is my surgery went really well. I still got a long ways to go. Like I'm really sore. I have to strengthen the muscles in my elbow, and you know all that entails. But the where they cut, they did a really good job. So you know, yay science. I don't even think I'm going to have much of a scar, to be honest. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's looking good, man. So that was my sweeto. Eric, your sweeto of the week, if you have one.
Oh, this is from last week. I forgot to get rid of it. Okay. I don't really have one then.
All right. Let's go on to our review. Speaking of Spider-Man Homecoming, we've all had the chance to see it by now. If you're in chat and you haven't seen it.
Yeah, where's Moria? Did you take him with you?
No, but we went separately. But
you guys are having a fight.
Damn you, Break.
Oh, yeah, Castlevania. Should we review the first four episodes, because technically it's a movie that was split into four episodes.
It's fucking awesome, is all you have to know.
It's a two-hour awesome, pilot of a TV series. Fucking
episodes. Yeah, it's four episodes, but I can understand so why they did it. I totally get why they did a four.
I'm telling you, it's because it was a plan. They basically used the script for his planned movie that ended up getting canceled, so he recycled the script for this.
You're not listening to me. You never let anybody finish, so you don't get the full story, dude. Like, I understand. I knew about the history of this. Was supposed to be a movie, but it's a perfect setup for a series, and I'm glad Netflix has picked it up for a second season. So it's confirmed. Season 2 is on its way. It's going to be an 8-episode deal. But the first four episodes were, in my view, really good. I mean, the end.
And so far, it's actually seeming to be to keep it as close to the story of Castlevania 3, which is what we thought it was based on. But they're keeping it really close to that.
Yeah, they're doing a good job. The last episode,
they're really faithful to the story of Castlevania. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Well, like Sifa was a statue that he rescues, of course, and. Yeah. When he meets Alucard, they fight.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
the only thing I'm worried about is why he left Grand Island. I mean, I read the reason why he did, but I don't understand the hatred of Grant. Yeah. Other than the fact that his last name's awful in the U.S. version. Instead of the Japanese dynasty, it was Dynasty, which is awful.
Gripper says...
Gripper has this Dracula...
But he could be in season... Spring. He could be in season 2 when they, like... They'll meet up with him somewhere, and they'll join up with him.
Yeah, Gripper says Dracula was based on Frank. How dare you, Gripper?
Also, I did like the callbacks to, some of the background story that doesn't actually get explored in Symphony of the Night. It's only partially mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, the murder of the wife, which his wife, Frank Vlad.
Which makes a lot more sense than Dracula just destroying humanity because he feels like it.
Yeah. I mean, that was originally like the story for Symphony of the Night, but I don't know if they had that all in original Castlevania at that point.
You know what I really liked was the last battle in the fourth episode, man. That thing was a thing of beauty, man. It couldn't have ended on a better, more intriguing note. You know, all those three, like the in a way, it kind of mirrored the Trinity. You know what I mean? In the Bible. So I really like it, man.
The only thing I didn't like, there's two things. The lack of really good music, the lack of callbacks to music from the previous series, and that might have to do with not getting the rights or them just playing it safe until they could do season two. But the thing that bothers me the most is the fact that that they felt the need to include dialogue that references goat fucking.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
it's why?
It's for a more that like you got to figure.
That was actually a really funny conversation. Yeah, I like that.
you gotta think it's more for an advanced.
I also hate the European thing. You have to have an English accent.
It's
a stereotypical English accent.
It's more for I'm not about the accent, but the. I mean, it's more of an adult orientation.
I suppose it's better than having them. Sorry.
That's the second time, dude. I'm trying to get one point out. They really.
Why? Why are you trying to get a point
how
out?
How dare you, Breakman, you son of a bitch. No, I liked it because it was more geared for the average gamer nowadays. You know, it's more of an adult thing. We all remember the Castlevania series, we're big fans. And this was a way of including
so
all of us.
So fucking's about adults.
No, but you're not going to talk about adult fucking with five-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like, it's more of an adult thing. It's an adult, you know, geared series. More like a PG-13 type thing.
I just think there are better ways to make content, mature content, without resorting to the lowest common denominator shit.
What it feels like is this game was made for the people that grew up with Castlevania.
You mean the show?
I'm sorry. The show was made for the people who grew up playing a game, is what I meant to say. You know?
Yeah.
For the people who were back in the 80s and read the storybooks to it. And that's how – it's like, wow, yeah. I remember this stuff.
Yeah.
Whoa, yeah, that's exactly what happened when I met Alucard. For some reason, that asshole attacked me.
I think the scene with the Archbishop and the demon was, like, the best scene ever. It's the biggest fuck you to religion.
Oh, my goodness, that was a thing of beauty.
It's not really a fuck you to religion. It's more a fuck you to organized religion. Because the story of Trevor is he is still, like, he's still a holy man. Like, he still believes in God and still prays, but the church itself is corrupt and evil.
Yeah.
And full of people who are delusional.
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't have an issue with people in religion. I have an issue with religion itself. Dungeon Buster makes a great point. It's like when HBO did the Spawn animated series.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, God, it was so good, man. Spawn animated series was great.
You know what's funny, though?
What?
It's funny that people are calling this an anime, but it's a Western production.
It doesn't matter.
Technically it is an anime if you look at the definition of anime. Anime is basically a truncation of the Japanese word for animation.
Yeah. No, it was great. That Spawn series was, man, I had such high hopes for the movie, but they fucked that all the hell.
God. Spawn.
They should do a series on HBO.
So bad.
Was really a violator in that movie.
Oh, God. I love the pick for Spawn, but the movie was so fucking bad.
Yeah, the movie was so bad. I wish they would do a live action series on HBO. I think they would be a perfect place to do it. The problem is Todd McFarlane wants to write and direct everything, and that's just not going to work. You know, you need a good director with vision. Maybe
after the movie, can you blame him?
Yeah, that's true. But I think if you had him as a consultant with a good, you know, series director, I think it could be something else.
And with today's technology, I'm sure they could do the cape without like a huge budget.
Well, I tell you what,
because the cape has to be its own thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's sort of like Medusa's hair in the Marvel universe. You know, you need that kind of flowy animated stuff. But I think
where does Medusa figure into the Marvel universe?
In humans,
dude.
I've never seen Inhumans.
Well, neither have I. It hasn't come out yet. But if you read the books, they're good. But anyways, my point was being that HBO is going to need a big dog after Game of Thrones ends, and I don't know if Westworld's going to be it. As much as I love Westworld, they're going to need another big show like Game of Thrones to kind of, you know, carry on. But
that's one thing that kind of bothers me.
Spawn would be a perfect one to do. So
Gripper says,
Gripper says the fight sequences were awesome in Castlevania. What were you going to say, Eric?
I was going to say the Game of Thrones creators, their idea for their next show sounds really awful.
The creators,
it's modern day Civil War.
Which movie are you talking about, or show?
Show. It's a show that they're planning to do. I don't know if they'll actually do it.
Oh, Inhumans, or which one?
No.
You kind of broke up.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Okay. Yeah, so, no. You
know, I must have cut out there then.
Yeah, you cut out. I'm liking what they're doing with Game of Thrones. It's going to be awesome. The first episode this season was awesome. But let's get on. I give Castlevania a 9 out of 10 so far. And what did you guys give Castlevania if you had to give it a score?
A thumbs up.
Out of 10, what would you give Castlevania?
A thumbs up.
Thumbs up, all right. Spider Homecoming, I'm not going to say too much about Spider-Man Homecoming other than they picked the right guy.
Well, hold on. I think – has everybody seen Spider-Man in chat?
I'm pretty sure they have. I'm not going to spoil anything. I just
– Yeah, we got listeners to think about.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm just going to say – Listen, I'm not going to say...
Okay.
I'm not going to say too
much... All right, Frank. All right.
Hold on. I'm not going to say too much about Spider-Man Homecoming. You guys can go into depth if you want to, but I think the casting – Mug made a good point. Mug and I talked about Spider-Man after we both watched it, and he made a good point. The actor that they got, I don't know what his name is.
Tom Holland.
Captured the essence of both Spider-Man and Peter Parker, which
– So is the one of the two in the other films.
Yeah, in the other films, like what was it in the first film?
Like Tobey Maguire was a better Peter Parker than a Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yes, and then
– And Andrew
– Garfield.
Yeah. Garfield was a better Spider-Man than Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom Holland, like he gets the nerdy, awkward – Mm-hmm. Excited about being school learning type stuff. Yeah. You know, the Peter Parker that we know and love. And then he's the Spider-Man that doesn't fucking shut up. Thank you, God.
Yep.
That was the one thing that drove me crazy. Because I love the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man. But that was the one thing that drove me crazy. He was so quiet. And I'm like, this isn't Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why say something? Mock him. Make a stupid joke. Why aren't you talking?
Yeah, it was great, man. The villain was awesome. Michael Keaton as the Vulture was perfect. It was a much-needed villain.
That's another thing. Let's take one of Spider-Man's notoriously lamest villains. Yeah. And Spider-Man has some of the greatest comic book villains.
Oh, yeah. Venom, Carnage. I mean, you can...
Like, his rogue gallery is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Vulture is not one of his amazing rogues.
No, but they
made him into an amazing villain.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
So that's another, like, wow. You did, like, you pulled off a just amazing, amazing feat. Like, let's also, take one shitty guys and make him amazing.
Yeah.
His story is also kind of messed up, too, because, like, Stark is, like, basically made him lose his job.
Yeah, it was great.
So it's like sheds some darkness in the DC world. It's like, these are heroes, but then there's all this collateral damage and bullshit that they do that makes them less heroes.
Yeah,
that's been something that they've kept in the Marvel Universe that I really like. Like, yeah. Collateral damage is a big thing in the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, and by the way, the costume is fantastic in this one.
Especially the eyes.
Yeah. I feel like Spider-Man's, like, Stark outfit is kind of like the Spectacular Spider-Man spec.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says
– other junk like drones and crap.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, I saw Spider-Man. He almost arrested me for stealing alien technology. Yeah, it's it's funny. The movie is great. I give it – oh, God, dude. I give it a 9.5 out of 10. I thought that much of it. And one thing that I really liked out of Spider-Man Homecoming, it was not an origin story. Which was
the ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. Whereas in the regular Spider-Man cartoons, we always see him get bitten and his uncle dies and stuff like that. Whereas the ultimate Spider-Man cartoon started like 6 months later, where he's already been Spider-Man for a while, but like it's time for him to learn to be a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way,
so in a way, it's kind of an origin story, but it's an origin story of him being a hero.
Right. I like them giving Aunt May some depth, too. Fucking Marissa Tomei.
Also, she's hot.
Holy shit, Marissa Tomei in this movie, man. She's smoking hot for being a bit older. But, man, they kind of modernized Aunt May, too, which is really fucking cool. So, yeah, 9.5 out of 10 for me. What do you give it, Eric?
Same.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm gonna agree with that too. I mean, there are aspects about this. Like, I'll say one of the things I hated the most is their interpretation of Flash.
Yeah.
I did not like at all their interpretation of Flash, but everything else, I was completely on board for.
Yeah, and definitely stick around.
Well, he was less an asshole and more of a douche.
I had some questions about
that. That's fine.
Yeah, but he's also supposed to be kind of physically imposing and the bully and things, but he's actually shorter than Peter Parker.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it seemed like just the wrong casting.
Yeah.
They probably couldn't find anybody, and they just – that's what they have. So they have to stick with it now.
Yeah.
I guess.
The extra was – extra.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the person who becomes Venom can fulfill that role a little bit.
Tom Hardy? Yeah.
And Dungeon Buster makes a point that I'd like to point out, too. The extra at the end of the credits was hilarious. Yeah, that may be my favorite end credit scene of all of them now.
Yeah.
Captain America is a nerd.
Don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
That's all I have to say. He's a nerd.
Mm. Yes. Don't spoil it. Yeah,
It didn't have anything to do with upcoming movies like the other ones did. It didn't really tie in. That was the earlier end credit kind of allusion that they allude to. But the end was great. The end.
We've already mentioned Captain America's in it, he steals scenes when he's in it.
Yeah,
it's pretty fucking hilarious.
Yeah. And it was really good. They had the whole Civil War angle where Spider-Man first showed up, which was fantastic. But all right, let's move on to the War of the Planet of the Apes. Eric, you had a chance to see it. I don't know if Brake has had a chance to see it. I
can wait until next week if you need to.
We can talk about the old ones if you want.
No, I haven't seen the old ones. Yeah, let's wait till next week on War for the Planet of the Apes, because I have a lot to say about that movie, and I'm sure Mug will as well. But let's move on to your review of Baby Driver. I have not seen it, so as spoilery free.
All right. Baby Driver is Edgar Wright's latest film, and a lot of Edgar Wright's films are usually style over substance, and sometimes that's okay, because sometimes you do one just a stupid popcorn flick, and this is one of those, although I think he's learned a little bit from the past, especially after I've not seen this movie, but from what I've heard of it, it's not that great, but the End of the World, or whatever that movie's called. But is that the name of the movie?
I don't know.
Or something of the end. I don't know. But I haven't seen Hot Fuzz, so I don't have any barometer other than, like, Scott Pilgrim of that and Shaun of the Dead that I've seen. But those were good movies. But this one's, like, about a wheelman for criminals who rob banks. And he's there because he got caught up in something in his past, and he's basically paying off this dude who's Kevin. The dude is kind of the antagonist, although the other criminals are also antagonists, and Kevin Spacey does a good job being a weird crime boss, I guess.
He usually does do a good job. He's a good actor.
The baby's his code name. It's not his real name. Glenn's real name, so I'm not telling you. But it takes place in Atlanta, Georgia, so there are some Georgian accents in the movie, especially with Baby. It's like him and his love interest both have the accent, even though characters like Jamie Foxx and the other criminals don't. But it is basically a weird mashup of like different ideas and eras, because like it feels like a anachronism in ways. Like, it takes place in modern era, there are cell phones, but certain locations, you could swear you're in the 50s. Because, like, Baby is rocking a James Dean look and most of the time. And so is his love interest. Yeah. But,
maybe they're just dorks.
And he has an eclectic collection of music that fills the movie soundtrack, but they're all good tracks anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I've heard good things about Baby Driver, for sure.
It's not the best movie ever, but it is definitely a well-done movie.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, and there's GTA-style car chase hijinks.
So
if you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be fun.
So I'm going to give this an 8.
An 8 out of 10.
All right, I will have to see Baby Driver now sometime.
Yeah, I want to see Baby Driver too, but I'm going to go see Dunkirk first. Dunkirk looks fantastic. And you know what?
It's also short for a Nolan movie, which I'm thankful for.
Really? And it's a war movie? That's weird.
Yeah.
You'd think his war movie would be his longest one.
48 minutes, so it's just under 2 hours.
Yeah. I'm sure the extended edition will have, like, at least a half an hour more.
Extended edition?
Yeah, like the Blu-ray, whatever, the one that comes out at home. But Dungeon Buster says the music really fit in with Baby Driver, so that's cool, man.
Now that we're done, are we done with reviews?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, before Spider-Man, what previews did you see?
Surprisingly for Baby Driver, there weren't any.
I saw the preview for Dunkirk. I saw Valerian. And what the hell else did I see? I don't know. What did you see, Brake?
I saw kid-friendly movies. I saw this one where I'm not sure what it was called, but it was about a kid who was scarred as a baby, I guess, and now he's grown up like disfigured and trying to fit in. Looked like a nice friendly movie.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Not one I'd actually pay to go see, or if it was on television, actually watch. Dungeon Buster says Valerian next week he's going to go see. Valerian looks interesting. Yeah. It kind of looks like Mass Effect to me.
Yeah, it looks okay.
It's not getting good reviews, but yeah.
There's another.
It sounds more like a Redbox at this point because I'm going to be paying about $14 to see a film because it's an anime. Limited run type of deal, and those are usually expensive.
Yeah.
And because they're at night, that's another reason the cost goes up.
Yeah. Are you going to the Miyazaki?
That's not Miyazaki, no.
Miyazaki, that's what it is.
Not every anime movie is a Miyazaki movie, goddamn it, Brake.
No, I was asking if that's what you were going to see, because I know at my local theater, they're having, like, at the beginning of August, a thing for him.
Yeah,
like a bunch of his movies.
Yeah,
this is just a movie called The Agent Magus' Bride.
Never heard of that one. I saw another preview for one called The Shape of Water, which looks absolutely amazing. It's Guillermo del Toro's latest vision. It looks really good. It's basically, the way I saw one review describe it, think of the creature from the Black Lagoon out of the water and not menacing. You know what I mean? So that to me sounds like something that I want to watch, especially with Guillermo del Toro at the helm. So looking forward to that for sure. Go ahead.
The other previews I saw were one that Eric was talking about last week, and he can't wait to go see Jumanji. The new one?
No. Damn it, no.
I saw that one, too. It looks fun. Dwayne Johnson.
It looks like a family movie, basically. Yeah. It looks like not something that was made for us, but if Frank was going to sit down and watch it with his kids, it looks like he'd laugh a few times.
Yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, obviously, is the draw to that.
And Jack Black's in there for me, too. So that kind of made me happy. I could probably watch the movie, and even though it looks like just kind of a bad, like, family, funny movie type thing.
It looks
thing.
Better than the first. I hated the first movie. Though.
Really? I like the first movie.
Yeah. I'm not a big Robin Williams fan.
That doesn't mean it's not good.
Yeah,
you just didn't like Robin Williams being there.
I didn't say.
The monkeys at one point, like, they bring monkeys in, and for some reason the monkeys just go rob an electronics store. Like, that was just funny as fuck to me, like... Hey, this is look. What the fuck are they doing? And then they steal a motorcycle. I'm like, God damn, what these fucking monkeys are doing? Shit like that. The other movie I saw and the one I'm kind of most, I guess, interested in is Dark Tower. I want to know more about.
Dark Tower looks very underwhelming. And then I heard it's like an hour and a half long. I was expecting like a two-hour.
It's Stephen King, though, so I want to know more about it.
Film has not treated Stephen King movies particularly great, but hopefully we're on an upward trend with that, with the new It movie coming out, which looks fucking scary as fuck. Yeah.
Oh, here's another death for the week. Do you know who John Hurt is?
Yeah, were you not listening to Breakdown? Yeah, that was Breakdown Stinko.
I was, but I might have not heard that.
Yeah,
you know how the internet works here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure.
You just didn't listen to Break, man, is what.
It's amazing how it doesn't work when I'm talking.
I know.
that's it. I just want
nice excuse.
Know, like,
Stephen King movies are definitely hit or miss, but because it's Stephen King, I want to know more about it. I'm sorry.
No.
I won't ever bring it up again, Frank.
I just think, like, from reading the books, it just doesn't look super interesting. I don't know. Maybe it'll be good. I have way higher hopes for it than I do the Tower movie, Dark Tower. But maybe it'll be good. I don't judge until I start seeing a lot of the reviews, and then I'm like, well, I'll either A, see it at the theater, B, see it on Blu-ray, or C, wait till it comes out on a streaming service or something. But Dunkirk seems really like the movie to see right now.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster saying he's like me. He likes war movies. Like, yeah. I've seen most every war movie I can think of at this point.
Yeah.
Of the current era, I shouldn't say most everyone. There's ones I've potentially avoided because I know, I knew Pearl Harbor wasn't really about war, so I never saw that one.
Pearl Harbor, Mug was telling me a lot of interesting things about Pearl Harbor. If you look at the extended version with all the behind-the-scenes type stuff, it was more of an interesting movie that way than what was portrayed at the theater. So I'm interested in seeing Pearl Harbor extra features type thing.
It's like a 3-hour movie, I guess, and the first 2 hours are all about like a love story between Ben Affleck and somebody else. And it's like, That's not what I'm going to see a war movie for. Right. I want to see, like, the last hour of it.
Yeah.
Dungeon Buster says Pearl Harbor was ass.
Yeah, it was not a great movie.
Yeah, but it didn't sound like Platoon to me or Hamburger Hill, stuff like that.
Oh, God, you know? Platoon's so good, man. So good. That's an old, good Vietnam War movie, man. That's a great movie. I'm looking forward to that. Maybe tonight I'll see Dunkirk if I can scrape together enough pennies.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says the only interesting thing about it was the actual attack, but give me a break on the love story trash. So basically, I just want to see like the last hour of the movie.
Yeah, MXT decided to show back up in chat. He says he wants explosions, fire, and death.
Pretty much. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. if people don't know this, my grandfather was a World War II vet, so I do like a lot of the World War II stuff, which is interesting because for the first time in a long time, I'm getting excited for a first-person RPG, the new Call of Duty. They're going back to World War II, which should be pretty interesting. I'm down. I'm down to revisit it.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No,
are you done yet?
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'm done.
When it comes to love stories, I actually find them in visual novels more interesting than live action stories. Maybe it's because it's completely fictional as opposed to just like, oh, here are real people doing a fake relationship.
They
usually invest more time in the love aspect.
When it's done well, it's done good. Like I heard there's certain movies with love stories that are really good, but I'm interested in seeing The Big Sick, too. I've heard that's got a really good love story and really funny and poignant.
I've only heard the previews on the radio, and the previews on the radio make me want to go burn the film.
Yeah, it doesn't do it justice.
but it's an R-rated comedy, apparently. I hate previews for R-rated comedies.
Yeah, they're boring.
They can't really sell the movie.
Right, but I've been hearing...
Or they really oversell it, and then those are all the only good scenes.
Yeah.
Well, with an art, that's like a PG-13 movie and stuff like regular people. But with an R-rated movie, like they're usually the best scenes. Like there's profanity or there's some like really gross out stuff that they just can't show you.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster.
So they show you like the scenes that are like, well, here's the shit. This is shit we can show you.
Yeah.
This shit isn't interesting because the funny shit's it's an R rating.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, I remember when Bay said Pearl Harbor was going to be like the Titanic. And then he says, oh, yeah, The Darkest Hour with Gary Oldman. I had to double take to see that it was really him. Tora, Tora, Tora is an old World War II film. That's a great movie. Tora, Tora, Tora is a good one.
Yeah, like he's talking about it. I know the title, but I can't remember if I've seen that one or not.
Yeah. There's so many good old World War II movies. And obviously Private Ryan. If you haven't seen that, that's a movie that you see once and only once, and it makes you feel. You know what I mean? It's one of those movies. All right, we don't have very much.
And I would like to also bring up Full Metal Jacket, because everybody, you know, when they talk about the movie, they think about like the boot camp part of the movie. But my favorite part of the movie was actually the second half when they're at war.
Yeah, that's a great movie too, Full Metal Jacket.
And when they, I think that one truly addresses like what goes on. Well, a lot of good movies like Platoon. Like, there's nobody who's truly safe.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, you're going into a war movie and just people, like, unexpectedly die. Because that's the shit that happens.
It's weird, man. Like, the only movies that have come close to the things that my grandfather has talked about is Private Ryan. And there was one other movie that kind of felt did it justice.
Yeah, definitely the beach scene on Private Ryan.
Yeah, that's
like just
that's
when so they hard. When they come onto Normandy Beach, like storm Normandy Beach. That is what real war is like. People are getting blown to pieces and shit.
Hacksaw Ridge was another one with Andrew Garfield, which was fantastic. That's a great movie. It was really, really good. All right, let's move on. We don't got much time to talk about it. Let's keep this discussion real brief because I got to test out new service, Discord, and all this stuff after the show. But let's talk about Lacey Green. There's some shit going around with Lacey Green. Lacey Green used to be very pro-LGBTQ+.
She was always more into the sexual positivity.
Yeah. Yeah, more upbeat, but, more...
That kind of bleeds into each other, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it always... I remember not too long ago, Lacey Green, you know, being basically a champion for LGBT people. But now she kind of turned around a little bit. Eric, you want to talk a little bit about it?
Well, I could do a short story and say that basically she started getting attracted to this guy named Chris Reagan, and he is apparently a white supremacist, and she's so in love with him, she's willing to overlook things like him being white supremacist.
Yeah.
And she also saw the Red Pill movie, and pretty much after that, she went full Red Pill.
Oh, you mean The Matrix, yeah.
Well, when the relationship ends, then she'll go back.
Well,
because apparently she doesn't have any standards, and she's lost the ability to think for herself.
It just, you know what it is?
And lets people mold her personality instead of molding it herself.
What it is the fact that people are emboldened now. Like, I hate to say it, and I hate to keep going back to Trump, but Trump did something different that most people don't think about. Like, he's emboldened people to be more aggressive, be violent, be more anti-gay and anti-minority than any president that in my lifetime
who flaunts about groping a woman's vagina in public or whatever. What was it he said? I can grab a woman by the pussy in New York Square if I want. Or no, he says he can shoot someone in the middle of New York and get away with it. Like,
but he also said that too.
Yeah.
He said both of those, but I kind of mixed them together.
He's said some things that are
also making fun of veterans who got captured, saying they're not real heroes because they got captured.
Well, he said that
And even though we generally don't agree on politics and stuff like that, I almost said Michael King because I looked in chat. fuck, what's his name? The senator of brain cancer right now.
McCain.
I hope he recovers. I hope he's all right. Like, I don't want something terrible to happen. Like, I don't want people to die and, you know.
I'm actually indifferent with McCain break. I'm a little more outspoken than probably anybody on the show. McCain, I know McCain is hailed as kind of a more centrist Republican, but he's done more.
I wasn't talking about his politics. I'm just saying it's terrible. Somebody got brain cancer is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I understand
it's
that.
It's more of the doctor's view on it. Like, they don't care who the patient is. Like, their job is to save them.
I get it. I totally get it. And brain cancer is awful. There's no disputing that. But in my personal opinion, like I mean, John McCain's politics have caused millions of, literally millions of people to die overseas. And to me, that's atrocious. So, you know, I don't believe in karma, but if there ever was such a thing as karma, then John McCain is getting it good, because he's voted for every arms sales in the Middle East that you can possibly think of. And I don't think he's a good human being. He may be good to his family and friends and, you know, get into town halls and give you a line of bullshit.
But yeah, see, that's what always bothers me, is no matter how bad someone is, there's always someone who loves them.
Yeah. No, and I know that.
And yeah. there's going to be collateral damage no matter what happens. Yeah. There's going to be hurt feelings.
It's funny, because I think everything that I've seen personally in the world has hardened me to the way other people feel. Like, if you're treating other people like shit, like, I have way less sympathy than, you know, maybe somebody like Brake has, that has a big heart and, you know, says these type of things. I feel for his family, but for him so, personally.
Like, I've been to so many funerals. Like,
I doubt it's going to humble him in his willingness to convince the rest of the party to, you know, get on board the universal healthcare, or at least single payer healthcare.
Well, no, but one good thing did come out of him being you know, in his condition, was the fact that they couldn't vote to bring it to the floor, which the AHCA or whatever the fuck they're calling it, the Trump care bill. But I don't know. I just,
yeah. But now they're going after Medicare.
I really have a hard time having sympathy for people that vote like that. You know, I really don't. MXT says no sympathy.
Like I said, it's more for me, less even, even the most horrible people have people that care about them. And not all those people are necessarily evil people. You know, we can't know that.
It's that old adage, you know, even Hitler had a family, you know, so that's the thing. Like, if we judge people based on the Hitler scale, you know, then, you know, I understand, like, even Hitler was good to his family and friends, you know, so that, and his family and friends may not have been as, you know, ideological.
And they don't deserve a combination just because they were associated with them.
Yeah. No, not necessarily. I mean, some did, but I judge everybody on their merits. And if I had to judge McCain, if I was St. Peter at the pearly gates, John McCain would not get in. He's done way more bad than good, but, you know, whatever.
If you were St. Peter at the pearly gates, none of us would get in for less than $100.
My name is back to Lacey Green.
That's true, too. Back to Lacey Green. I hope she really thinks about things. She's obviously a pretty smart
guy. Yeah, by the way, Hitler was...
Because of her platform, though, she's also misinforming people about how transgender or gender identity works.
Yeah, what'd you say, Brett?
Hitler killed himself after his girlfriend killed his children and herself. So not exactly great father of the year type shit.
Yeah. Gripper's talking about his soccer skills in chat. MXT says, I'm as old as St. Peter. How dare you? some of his family were still living, though none of them wanted to go on the record, Dungeon Buster said. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt them. Hitler was a dog lover, Gripper says. Yeah, that's another thing.
Well, like, literally or figuratively?
No, figuratively. He loved dogs. That's well documented. Lacey Green, I hope she's a smart girl. You know, she's a smart woman. She knows what she's saying.
She needs to stop pretending to be stupid.
I think
she needs to think with the right head instead of the wrong one. Instead of trying to get in guys' pants, she should have standards for herself.
I think she
must have an amazing penis.
Yeah, exactly.
There's got to be a point where you say, no, I can't associate with you because I don't like your behaviors, attitudes, and actions.
Yeah.
But oh my God, that dick. Oh God.
I can't wait to use that as a sound clip, break, man. I'm gonna break
She also
it.
Had a big falling out with Zinnia Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. She'll come around, hopefully, man. If not, you know, fuck her. When she finally realizes
he's as big of a dick as his penis.
Yeah. She's going to date him until the point where his anti-feminist views start affecting her personally negatively.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for today. Eric, you have any – let's start with Breakman. Breakman, any plugs?
No. I got my, like –
butt plugs? You got those?
He's got butt plugs, that's for sure.
I'm just going to move on. No.
All right, Eric, your plugs, man.
You could find me on sites I write and reviews for, like HonestGamer.com, TotallyGen.com, BostonBastardBrigade.com, and VogNetwork.com, where my review of The Walking Dead Season 3, or rather what it's called, A New Frontier, is up.
All right.
It's not as good as the previous entries.
Oh, that's sad to hear.
Yeah, that is sad to hear.
It's still high up there, but it's like, instead of like an A, it's more like a B minus.
Yeah. All right, Eric, what else you got for plugs?
But you can also find me on Twitter at ArcRPG, and I've got my YouTube channel, Funny T-Man. And there's my Patreon.
Okay.
But I don't want you to give money to me right now. I'd rather you give money to RP Grinders on their GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Because we want to get our domain back.
Yeah. Let's try to get that out there. If you're listening on the archives, somebody put it very well. Who was it? Was it Gripper, Dungeon Buster, Flabby Sausage, I think? You know, I think it was Flabby Sausage. Thanks, Flabby Sausage, again, for the money. We're working on getting that domain back. But he said it best, you know. I mean, 400 episodes, something like a nickel a piece for each host, $20. You know, I mean, come on, that would be huge for us. You know, it's a very modest goal of $95. Just go to GoFundMe.com and look up RP Grinders and donate if you can. Okay, that would be great. Anything else, Eric?
That's all I have.
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. I usually respond to everybody. I'm always on with my phone. My phone has some troubles sometimes, but make sure you get on Twitter and get involved. Get in the game. At RP Grinders as well. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, address them to at RP Grinders. Breakman will definitely read anything that you have on the air.
There's been nothing to stop me yet.
Yeah.
And trust me, Freak has tried.
Yeah, Freak has tried. I mean, the most depraved things have been said on RP Grinders. Tell your friends about us. And now we have a new time. Saturdays at 3 Eastern Time, wickedradionetwork.com, if you want to join.
So if you've never joined our show, because I like interrupting Frank, you could get a chance now because we're on a new day.
Yeah, we're on a new day and time. Look, Gripper's in there. He was.
And we can continue not have the Mug, because Mug can't even get his stuff together.
I thought he was going to try and join us with Skype. Like, what happened, Frank?
I don't know what happened to Mug. I'll find out later. But
I hope his not being a part of the show is making him depressed.
Oh, damn. That's jacked up that you wish depression on somebody.
I said I hope that it isn't making him depressed.
Nah, we'll get him on the next show. We'll do some
Dungeon Buster in chat. I know, like, we're talking about depression, and I'm sorry to take it away from that, because I don't think that's the reason. I think he'll be okay. We got him in. But Dungeon Buster in chat says, Emperor Daylight Man, that's me, is not pleased with the state of war. It must be improved for his entertainment.
Exactly, man.
We were talking about war movies in chat, and I stated that war documentaries, most of them are boring.
That could be your propaganda message in Civ 6.
Yeah. MXT says Mug has been trumped. Whatever. All right, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. Stay safe this weekend. We hope you join us next weekend. Until then, we are out.